This evening I'm talking to Astrid Nilsch. Now, Astrid, in the past, when I was doing a bit of research into you, I discovered that you were something of a polymath. Artist, web designer, blogger. I mean, I'm sitting in your beautiful house surrounded by art that much of it I expect you've probably done yourself. So how do you see yourself first and foremost? Is it as an artist or a harp player? How would you describe yourself?
I really like that, polymath. I've adopted that and put it straight in my next press release. I'm extremely flattered about that. That I think is a good... I don't really separate these things. I originally trained as a musician, and I've done that professionally for about 15 years. But I've also always painted. That was actually the first thing I did creatively. I started painting when I was about 2, and my mother has sort of kept all the old stuff. And then when I was a teenager, I got a bit more ambitious about it and started what I'm still doing, is painting pictures that are inspired by texts, stories. And Tolkien and Lord of the Rings was actually one of the big inspirations for me at the time. This all comes from the same place. When I look at my pictures, I often think they look like I sound when I play the harp. In a weird sort of way. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody else, but there's something about this. As a musician, you train your hands, you train your motor skills, and that has been incredibly useful transferring into drawing. And I think for me, I reached a point, and I was encouraged by someone who's given me a bit of a helping sort of nudge to explore my skills, and there was a point when I sort of figured out that the movement I do when I draw with a pencil on a page is exactly the same as I do when I play the harp.
Because it's not, you know, unlike a piano or, you know, one of the smaller, more portable instruments, it's not something that you just tend to happen across. It's not something that people have in their houses. So how did that happen for you?
Yeah, that also actually has to do with the Lord of the Rings fandom, because when you read Lord of the Rings, people always kind of, that seems to be the instrument that they play in Middle-earth most of the time.
Right.
And I always wanted to play the piano from quite a young age. I did when I was about preschool. The year before I went to school, my mother put me in this sort of music pre-education class, and then afterwards we were given a choice of learning recorder or piano or the violin, and I was judged to sort of, somebody said my ears weren't good enough for the violin or something, but I should play the piano. But then somehow there wasn't enough money to play a piano, so I ended up with the recorder, which was very frustrating to me, because at the time I was there aren't very many notes on that instrument. And I was also singing in the school choir, and I wanted to go home and play these melodies. And I think also I've always had sort of music running through my head. I remember when I was a kid, it was just never silenced. And I do think now, after the fact, that probably some of that was my own, which I would have liked to get out, but I didn't have the tools to do that. So that kind of... I've started writing music recently, just a few things that might have been what I would have done if things had been different.
So the piano, so you couldn't do the piano, but the recorder came along, and then you go from a tiny recorder to an enormous harp.
I didn't stick with the recorder for very long, and then also we moved to Brazil for 3 years, and then the music sort of, there wasn't even music lessons in school at the time, and so for those 3 years I didn't get to do any really.
That must have been frustrating.
Yeah, it was, and then I came back, and the school I went to had quite a strong focus on music. Actually, one of my schoolmates is Alban Gerhardt, who is now a really famous cellist, and he came to New Zealand a couple of years ago, which I completely didn't know that he'd become this famous. I was sort of walking through Wellington and there's this poster, and I look at this guy and think, I went to school with this guy. So that was funny.
Oh, no,
but and so it was kind of encouraged that people would play instruments, and then sort of actually sort of not, I think some of the thought was that not that I wasn't really planning to sort of become a professional musician at the time, because that seemed so, you know, elevated and far off and beyond my possibilities. But I remember thinking that it was a bit late for me when I was about 12 or 16, when I came back from Brazil to start the piano, that I wouldn't be very good at it. And then the harp is actually very close in terms of what you can do on it.
Right.
So that was also one of the reasons.
Wow. Yeah.
And it turned out well, because it's so unusual that there are much fewer people doing it, and so it wasn't too hard for me to be accepted in conservatory, which with piano it would have been near impossible. I had another friend in school went that way, and she was turned down the first time, although she was much more proficient than I.
Yeah.
But with the piano, because there was the competition was just much larger, and then there isn't really, like with the harp, at least there in theory you can play with an orchestra. With the piano, you probably, most people wind up giving lessons unless they step into this really famous thing.
An exhibition at the moment at the Carterton Event Centre called Fantastic Journeys.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about, you know, where that exhibition came from and the theme of the exhibition?
Well, it's a series of paintings. There's 14 paintings in total, which is quite a big chunk. They're all paintings. It's taken me about over a year and a half to paint them all. And they are all inspired by the Earthsea books by Ursula Le Guin, who's also, like, Tolkien as a fantasy writer. And I didn't read these books when I was young. I only sort of came across them about maybe 5 years ago, but then I read them on a holiday down in the south, and I just had this rush of images. Sort of, I mean, I was already in a, so I've been working sort of in a much more systematic way than ever previously on my painting skills since about 2006. So for the last, how much is that, 6 years?
6 years,
And so I was already in this process of really deliberately working on the painting skills and getting them up from the point where I'd have some idea in my head, which I would then sort of more or less somehow put on the canvas, which was tended to be sort of imaginative, but not on a very high technical level.
Right.
Because I just didn't have that technique, because I hadn't been trained in it. And to go to the point where actually somebody challenged me to told me, like, you know, if you want to be taken seriously as an artist, you need to up the ante.
Right.
And that's exactly what I did, and sort of did a lot of sketching at the time. And actually, when I was there, I always took my sketch pad. And sort of out of this being very preoccupied with wanting to paint, I then had this sort of basically moment of inspiration when I literally one afternoon, an hour and a half, I sat down and sort of sketched out thumbnails for about half of these images. They were sort of, some of them were really clear in my mind how I wanted them to be, and several of them have ended up like that, and then others sort of were developed a bit later. But so that was interesting to me, because I've usually only ever done sort of single paintings. Like, I would get obsessed with the story, and I'd do one or maybe two, and then it was enough. I've never really worked in a sustained way on a series like that over such a long time. And it's always been, it's always been very sort of inspiration dependent for me.
Right.
Like, if I had an idea or a vision of how, and I tend to have the image quite clearly in my head before I start painting, which is not what every artist does, which I didn't know, because you don't know when
you
do it.
No, that's right.
Failing that, I wasn't, either I had that vision or whatever I tried to paint just wouldn't turn out very interesting. So it was a sort of, which was also, I think, one of the things that kept me originally from choosing to do art rather than music.
Yeah.
There were several factors involved into that, but that was one of them, that I felt I couldn't, I had this sort of thing there, but I couldn't really channel it in a structured way.
No.
And I've been learning to do that for over the last several years. And that was a big step on the way, just figuring out how I could sort of basically store this inspiration and use it later.
Got it.
Yeah.
So this exhibition really typifies that kind of tipping point for you.
It's also the first time, the first painting. I put my paintings online, and I'm on this one big website, DeviantArt, and it has a system where people can give favorites to paintings they like. And that was the first painting where I really felt it was catching on.
Right.
That people it jumped up much higher than anything I'd done previously.
Wow.
And
that must have been quite exciting. Moment.
Yeah, it was. And also the first time that I felt this is really something I would not be ashamed of submitting somewhere in a professional context.
Right.
So getting to that point where you feel your technique has got to that point where you can do that.
Yeah. I think that what I'm getting from you as an artist is that I think when lots of people think about art and artists, they think it's just, inept, that somebody just sits down and does it. But from what I'm getting from you is, you've worked really hard.
It is one of the hardest jobs you can do.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that require the most discipline, self-discipline.
Mm.
And people just, going back to classical music, I think coming here to New Zealand, people just really did not understand what it means to be a educated classical musician in Europe. It's one of the toughest things you can do.
Yeah.
And similarly with an artist as well.
Yeah.
But consequently, it is also quite highly respected as a profession.
So the exhibition for you is personally very important by the sense of
it. It's my second. I've exhibited these same paintings, minus the two that I've done this year, at Thistle Hall in Wellington. A couple of years ago, and that was my first big solo exhibition. I've had the occasional painting in the affordable art shop before, but I've never really exhibited as myself.
And put yourself out there.
So that was exciting, and that went quite well.
Yeah.
I didn't have the paintings up for sale because...
But this time they're for sale?
They are for sale, but they're quite expensive. Okay. They reflect the fact that they took me 5 weeks each to paint.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What kind of price tag are we talking about for...
They're between 2,200 and the most expensive one is 3,000.
Lovely.
Which adds up to minimum wages for that amount of time,
Yes, absolutely.
And I just felt I didn't want to slog them off for less than that. And I'd rather keep the series together.
But yes.
If somebody does come along and wants to pay that much money, then they're most welcome.
Yeah.
It would be great, I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hot-footed down to the Carterton Event Centre.
Yeah.
Is there a painting in the series that you're particularly fond of or have a particular attachment to? Or do you feel equally as fond of all of them?
No, I have favorites.
Yeah.
Well, the first one I did was so special because also I wasn't planning to do this painting when I started it. I was just having a moment of, let's try to just do something really free and blotch some color on the canvas. But I'd been reading these books and been in this process, and it suddenly wanted to be that.
Yeah.
It just basically the painting told me that this is, is what it's going to be.
Wow.
And that was quite unusual and quite cool. And it's also, I think, one of the ones that turned out best.
Right.
And then there's another one, which was actually for me the one that took the most work.
Yeah.
But where I felt that it was worth doing that work because I achieved what I wanted to achieve with it. That's called the Courtyard of the Fountain.
And at the paintings at the exhibition, are they hung in a chronological order?
Yes, they're they look like a giant comic strip, which is kind of
really
cool. It's sort of four panels and they're all in sequence, so you can follow the story, and I've got little things explaining what it's all about. So hopefully that will be clear, and then there's a library right next door where people can check out the books if they want to.
That's been keeping you busy for some time, but you also I'm just going back to the harp again. Your Tolkien links are very embedded because I know that you played the harp at the Hobbit fan, the formal Hobbit fan party. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I'm sort of something that you might call a celebrity fan.
Right.
A person who's famous for being a fan.
Right,
which is
okay.
Something that sort of came up with this Lord of the Rings thing, because when the movies came out, there were quite a few, as you know, the reaction was just massive, was just out of scale, and in terms of not just how many people saw it, but also how it impacted people's lives and how they related to it. And a lot of that stuff was going on the internet, which was then just, there wasn't Facebook yet, but there were these sort of internet forums where people could go and communicate, and that really took off. One of the things where that started taking off was through the Tolkien fandom, people just started chatting about the movies and then started chatting about themselves and really formed these communities. And the One Ring Net, who are the ones that organize the party, are the biggest of these websites, essentially. They're not affiliated, or they started completely independently from the movie.
Right.
So it was just a bunch of fans. One of them is Erica Challis, who's used to be a horn player with the Auckland Symphony Orchestra.
And
she's now doing other things. So it's helped a number of people to find out what they really want to do with their lives, I think. For me, it was a point where, like, because I was such a huge fan of the books when I was about 16, 17, and then I'd done this hopping thing, and it was kind of, I was meandering. And that sort of brought back to me the kind of idealism and the things that I wanted to do when I was 16 in a really strong way. And I was sort of looking at my life and thinking, you know, there's nothing that I'm really happy with at the moment.
Right.
So let's change it. And then I moved to New Zealand shortly afterwards, which was also something that came about through a contact I'd made on one of these websites. And, as it happened, serendipitously, or however you call that, there was somebody who needed a harp teacher at Victoria University, which is just the greatest coincidence ever, you know.
It's getting freaky now.
That was a bit freaky. That was meant to be. Yeah.
Website is, just remind me,
www.asni.net. That's ASNI and like Nelly .net. The first two letters of my first name and the first two letters of my last name, to take all the mystery out of it.
Oh, I see. And do people actually call you Asni?
Some people do. They get confused about it. Yeah. I thought of, when I was moving into an English speaking environment, thought it would be a good idea to have a more pronounceable name than Astrid Nielsch. Right. But somehow it doesn't really, I don't know. But also the other thing about it is when I adopted this Asni, at first Asni and then Asni the Harper is my stage name.
Yeah.
And I felt that to be really useful in terms of distancing my own self from the person I am on stage.
Right.
That was sort of a mental trick, which because I have to promote myself and I have to write my own, you know, press releases and all that kind of stuff. And writing about yourself in this flattering way that is required is can be very difficult.
Yeah.
And it made it a lot easier when I made this Asni to Harper into a sort of something like a fictional character whom I can then write about.
Yeah.
And
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's a good trick, actually, isn't it? Because I think we've all been in a situation where we've got to write a CV, and you know, you're just thinking you probably don't feel that great about yourself at the time, and you've really got to kind of ramp yourself
you just
up.
Have to keep smiling.
But looking at your website, asni.net, you know, your industriousness shines through there. And I know that you've got a number of projects on the go over the Christmas period. And we've just been looking at your locations of New Zealand.
New Zealand film locations map, That's also a thing. Like, this website, like I say, I've had since 2002. And one of the things, it was originally supposed to be my professional website for my music, but then the other thing I did, because at the time I was getting into the Lord of the Rings thing, and I was also developing an interest in visual arts and photography in special.
Yep.
And then I moved to New Zealand, so I put these photos of the locations up there.
Right.
And that got me a lot of visitors. That really took off.
Right.
And then the other thing I had was, for the first movies, there was a map floating around that was part of the promotional material they had, like sort of the locations where they shot the movie.
Yeah.
That was, for a while, that was on the Air New Zealand website, and then they took it down and I'd saved it on my hard drive. So I
right.
put it on my website just because it was such a cool thing to,
yeah.
to have. And, you know, probably it's probably not entirely kosher in terms of copyrights, but nobody has sort of whacked me over the head. So, but I've always felt that I should probably... play it safe in terms of the copyright issues. I
right.
should probably design my own. And then
yeah.
also people started asking me about this map. It was actually probably the most viewed page on my site was
okay.
the map. And so then I've been wanting to design this map for years.
Mm.
And it's just been procrastinating. But it's also good because now I'm at a level with the art and the use of the software that I can do a decent job of it. So
yeah.
I'm quite pleased how it turned
and
out.
And it is beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
it's in the style of kind of a medieval.
Yeah, I've been looking at sort of like maps from the times of discoveries. Like
yeah.
In particular, there was a Portuguese map which was sort of showing the coast of Brazil and the coast of Africa and,
yeah.
and only sort of parts of it, the parts that they discovered. Because
yeah.
they hadn't discovered the whole thing yet, and then there were sort of little parrots in there and trees and you know dark-skinned men and stuff, and it was a bit like almost comic-y.
Yeah.
And I've taken the color scheme of that and the whole idea, and I've also stuck in some monsters like they would have on the old seafaring map, and a wind rose which I copied directly from the old one.
It's beautiful.
So, yeah, it looks quite nice.
And people can purchase that, can't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sell for $10.
And you've designed some calendars as well for 2013.
Yeah, I've been doing the calendars with these location photos that I did. I've been doing
oh.
that for 5 years.
Wow.
And the first one was a tiny little print run of about 15 copies.
Yeah.
And then the next one was, I think, 50.
Right.
And then I've been doing 100 for the last 3 years. And so that's been going quite well.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So they've really become like, there's people who collect these things. So they've become, I sell them on eBay mostly and through my website. And then
yeah.
there is a store who specializes in Tolkien fan things in the Netherlands who've been supporting and buying bits of that print
Brilliant.
Run for the last 4 years.
What does 2013 look like for you? Have you got other projects on the go, and is it Hobbit related or?
I'm a bit sort of out of the. I think I'm a bit. I've sort of moved on from the Lord of the Rings
right.
stuff a little bit.
Okay.
I still do these things because it's good for me, but
yeah.
Several things I want to do. One is I really. My next aim is to get published as an illustrator.
Right.
And so I will be sending out my portfolio. I will be contacting people who might have a need in terms. I recently, for the last 2 years, I've actually been studying art.
Right.
I found this college called the London Art College, which provides online
oh,
art tuition. And they have this course that's science fiction and fantasy art.
Ooh, lovely.
And I just, perfect. You know, I saw that and I couldn't resist, you know, I had to do this. This was perfect. I didn't know you could study that. So I've done that for the last 2 years and I got a distinction, which
oh,
I'm really
well
pleased
done.
About. And but it's also been really good because it's helped me also get even more structured about the way I work and,
yes.
and sort of find out, because I've always, you know, obviously I am into trying lots of different things.
Yeah.
And that also applies to the kind of types of art I do. Like I work in oils, I've done a bit of watercoloring for a while, I do computer art, I've experimented with various different styles and do a lot of pencil sketching, pen and ink since I've done the course. But if you want to work as a professional illustrator, you really need to do like one or two things that people can recognize as your style.
Got it, yeah.
Otherwise people get confused.
Yeah.
And so this is something that I need to work on to find right. that thing that will be the thing that I do.
Yes.
And sort of cut out some of the things that I do. Also is I've written a children's book story a little while ago with here with Viv Walker in the Wairarapa, who runs these children's book illustration courses.
Oh, wonderful.
And Ali, what's her name? Sorry, they've done a couple of books together.
Right.
And it's really nice. And so when I first moved here, I saw that they were offering this, and I went there and I wrote this little story, which is a retelling of an Estonian fairy tale, which Estonia is the country where my mother was born.
Right.
So, and that's kind of something really neat that I wanted to do something with for the last 2 years, but I haven't had the time, so I've put that on the schedule to be. And
Great.
Then also if nobody else will publish me, then I will publish that myself, and I will be published by the end of the year, right?
Yeah.
So that's an important project. And then I'm working on a couple more oil paintings. Still building websites as well. So the next thing I'll do is finish a website for a friend of mine who's a singer in Germany, and then I will need to find the next client. So if anybody wants a website,
well, I was gonna say,
send
so people
me an
can
email.
Approach you
yeah,
for
yeah.
that. Brilliant. Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much. Good luck for 2013, and we'll catch up next year.
Okay.